by the book Welcome Class. So let's break down what we're really talking about when we're talking about living by the book. I like to say living as the book. I know it's not the title of the textbook, but it's living as the book. And I say that for a reason. The consciousness has to change of us thinking that we're getting principles and leaving out the person of God. There's a weakness in just trying to operate in steps and principles and prayers and whatever we do and leaving out the person of who God is number one, but who he's connecting us to and who he's made us in his image. Because we consciously, it's all about a consciousness change. You are one with God. You do come from God. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you. But because you believe you became acquainted with God or acquainted with anything Christian or religious by coming in contact with the Word, or somebody said some words to you that may have touched you, or somebody witnessed to you, right? But witnessing is only somebody saying that, listen, I'm aligned, I know who I truly am, and you are too, you just don't know it. So it becomes this conversation where something already is, but because of the knowledge of good and evil that we live by right now in the system, we have to be explained back to our original state of being, our original state of who we are. So you think that you became acquainted with the Word of God before you became acquainted with God. We think that the Word of God leads us to God. We think that the Word of God, when we've studied enough, then we come in contact with God. But let's make some understanding to get something clear. We came from God. So before we knew any words, we were one with the Father. A little study in the word know in the Bible, when you see know, K-N-O-W or K-N-E-W, when somebody knew somebody, they would say such and such knew such and such. That means they were having sexual intercourse. That means there was something happening, there's an intercourse, an intimacy that happens that was about to produce a baby. That's how they described it. And the other day it hit me in my mind in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, before you were formed in the belly, watch this. Now, if you were formed in the belly, there must have had to been some knowing going on before then, right? And listen to what he says. Before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. Whoa. I put that together the other day. I said, whoa, how did you were intimate with me. You had already placed something in me. There was something already birthed in me as me already before I was formed in the belly. That means my acquaintance with God was before I ever came in contact with any words, all right? And so because we think that we came in contact with scriptures or with a rhetoric or with a Bible class or a Bible school or a teacher or a pastor or any apostle, or prophet, evangelist, whatever, we think that we came in contact with God that way, and we didn't realize that their understanding, their ministry should have been telling me that this is where I come from. I was already acquainted with God before then, but I just didn't know, and I must align myself back to my true version of me. I prove it in the beginning. Before the Genesis, and we're reading John 1, but in Genesis, it said he was over the face of the deep. And then it says, watch this. It said, and God said, then words, let there be light. But the words were not empty. The words and the action, the words and the manifestation were the same. Today, because we are, the distance between us and our understanding of our oneness with God is the difference between our words and our manifestation. Catch that. We're able to say things and pray things and confess things and hope things, and sometimes never see them because there's too much space in between. But when God said, let there be light, there was. It was the same simultaneous thing that was going on. He was only speaking what he believed to be already there, and it made it happen the same time he says his words. This is what I'm saying. But God said, then come words. I'm going to say it again. God said, and then there came words. So before there were words, living by the word, living by the book, before there was any book, before there was a person. And I mean, the first rule of using the map is you got to find out where you are first before you know where you're going. So if we're ever going to go through a journey of the scripture of the Bible, we got to know where this comes from first and how we should read it. So I should read it from personal being first before I read it from principal being. Because it started off as a person. John 1, it starts saying this. John 1, 1, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles there. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Stop right there for a second. In the beginning was the Word. Now watch how he describes it. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Listen to what I'm trying to say. The word was, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So now we have to take this word of God and stop leaving it as a principle or as a lesson or as a law or as something that should be done or something that should be learned, but realize that I'm only unlearning the fact that I've been separated from God. And what I need to learn is that this word is speaking about who I truly am, and it's speaking my DNA and speaking my identity. Before Jesus was all law, after Jesus, they tried to go back into the law somewhere with Jesus' name. And they're telling you things to do and how to do it. And God bless the law. I think if there were no law, humans, me, you, everybody else are too crazy to not have anything over us to tell us to keep us in line. Imagine if there were no lines on the road or no stop signs or no red lights or green lights. It would be mayhem, right? So I understand that. But what the law could not do, Romans 8 talks about it, what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son in the same likeness of sinful flesh and for sin are missing the mark. Remember, now sin means to miss the mark. Sin doesn't mean do bad things. Sin means, it's an archery term. It means to miss the mark. It means you're shooting at it, but you miss it. For sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So now Jesus comes to put you in a place where you never miss the mark again. What mark? The mark that you are. Okay? So in the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, and Word was God. Now watch this. This literally means that before there was a scripture, there was a writer of the scripture, and before there was a, and the writer is the one that gives life to the things that are written. So many times we come to church and we learn so many steps and rules and rituals and regulations and all these different things, and all these things are just holding us in place until life hits us and we realize who we truly are. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So we have been studying the Word of God from a place of principle and ritual and letter and scripture before we actually realize the writer or the maker. You understand what I'm saying? If I was able to approach this knowing that it'll change your life, if I was able to approach these scriptures knowing that they were telling me who I am and talking to me about me, not just telling me what I should do or what I should not do, but telling me who I am. If I knew who I was, then what I should or shouldn't do. You know, sometimes I think that, I wonder if we are the smartest beings on the planet. You know, we say we're the intelligent species. You know, we put animals all in, but sometimes I wonder because they have no problem knowing who they are. And they have no problem. I have four dogs at my house right now. At one time I owned up to eight, but I have four dogs in my house right now, and I've never heard one of them meow one time. I've never heard one of them tweet or make a sound like a bird one time. Not one time. Wow, a lot of barking, yeah, because this is who they are. And because of who you are, you do what you do. Listen to what I'm saying. We're the only ones that sometimes don't know who we are, and so we're out here doing all kinds of different things, trying to please God. When God says, the thing that pleases me the most is for you to know who you are in me and I am in you. We got the same DNA. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, right? Then we jump down to one of our main scriptures, down into verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh. So what God has to do, we're going to live by the book a little bit. What God has to do, he has to take on flesh form. The Word was made flesh and dwell among us, because we, ever since the beginning of mankind wanted to worship God. I'll never forget when he talks to Abraham and tells Abraham everything. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing, and I'm going to bless those that bless and curse those that curse you. And to all the family, he told Abraham one other time, look around, wherever you go, wherever you set your foot at, that's yours, right? And Abraham immediately builds an altar or builds something to want to worship, and we want to worship God in this way. We build an altar. We want to lift our hands. We want to sing praises, but worship is actually giving God back what he gave you at first. But what did he give you at first? Well, life. Well, if God gave you life first, then it's more than your hand raise or your song or your sing-along during Sunday morning service, karaoke. It is you giving your life. What God is looking for is for you to recognize that you are little him And then you bring that back to him to be able to be used. They that worship him was worship in spirit and in truth. To be used like he wants it to be used. Like he wants us to be used. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we cannot get caught up into the ink on these papers and to the literature of what's going on. And it's beautifully written. The Bible is beautifully written. It's a great masterpiece of work. But if I even break it down to you, the Bible, it comes from the word bibliotheca. Bibliotheca means a library. It's Latin. It means a library. It means a collection of books. This Bible that we have is, all word was written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. There's one time written in the scripture, so we just jump on that and we go all over. But this Bible was written. There were things that were left out. There were things that put in. It was called canonized. A group of priests got together and decided what books were going to go into this book we call the Bible. And the word Bible ain't even in the Bible. It's not even in it. You have to understand what you're reading. Thank God for the Gospels. Thank God for the red words when Jesus is talking, because now he brings everything. It's like he takes everything in the Old Testament, everything past him in the New Testament, and brings it. That's on the left side, this on the right side. He said, we are on the inside. And so he goes over John chapter 5, and we read these scriptures before. John chapter 5, verse 39, and he says this. Let me explain these Gospels. They're the Synoptic Gospels, and then there's the Gospel of John. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. Synoptics, deep word. I know the preacher be saying deep stuff. What it really means is they're the same. They're in sync. Their timeline is somewhat of the same sync and same information in each of those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There may be details and wording different, but the content is somewhat the same. Reason that is because Matthew actually walked with Jesus. Mark and Luke did not, but they took their accounts from people saying what was. Luke was a Gentile. Luke was the only one that was a Gentile that wrote one of these. He wasn't a Jewish nation, but he was real close to Paul at the time. So he writes this as an account that he's getting from different people, right? Mark the same way, right? Matthew and John walk with Jesus. John's gospel is almost totally different, has some things that line up the same, but it's a totally different perspective and a totally different viewpoint of Jesus. This is why I love the gospels, because it gives us different viewpoints so we're not stuck in one person. Y'all know when people tell you stories, you hear one side of the story, and you be like, something missing over there, right? Where it gives you a full span. Let me give you another little history lesson on the gospels. The gospels were written after the letters of Paul. So when you get to the book of Acts and you get to Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and all the ends, right? First of all, those are cities. So they're not just names of books in the Bible. Those are cities, and those are letters written to the church in those cities. So the Corinthians are the people that lived in Corinth. The Galatians were the people that lived in Galatians. The Romans were the people that lived in, Rome, right? So he's writing letters. These are letters. These are not sermons. These are not messages. He's even not trying to write a Bible. Nobody was trying to write the Bible. They weren't trying to write it, right? These are letters that were sent. These letters were sent. The Gospels were written years after the letters. Let's do some cognitive thinking right here. Let's do some thinking and maybe some more thinking. Understand, why is this happening? Why did they get written after, right? Because there were things that were going on from the book of Acts all the way to the book of Revelation, right? And there are some red words in the book of Revelation. John, who's in John, the book of John, also wrote this, right? There's some things that I remember Paul and Peter got into it, because Peter wasn't doing things exactly like Jesus said to do it. So they got into it and they separated. So the gospel, so the disciples said, well, we got to write it like Jesus said it, because some of this stuff is veering off and going in another direction. Some of these things are going off back into ritual, back into the old temples, back into the old synagogue ways, and we need to write exactly what Jesus said so that people can know how Jesus said it. So it was somewhat of a corrective measure. Catch what I'm saying? Because there was a gospel being preached. The gospel, first of all, Jesus never said, go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or go preach the gospel of me. He just said, go preach the good news. But they begin to worship and idolize Jesus so much they miss what Jesus was saying to them. Jesus, they would come running to Jesus and say, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one, that's God. Like, why are you doing this? Don't do it this way, because I need you to understand, if you keep putting me on the pedestal, then you don't know where you're standing. So now here in John, we see these red words. So now the whole conversation Jesus has with us, he's not giving us principles. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. He's not giving us principles. He says, search the scriptures, John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think, and you should read this whole passage, I'll be honest. One of the things I want to say, and I might have said this before too, but in living by the book, or studying the word of God, which is really studying who you are, you have to understand context. You know, we become biblically selective. Don't be like this. Don't leave out of here and try to be no preacher that you tying a bunch of different scriptures together just so you can get your little message on, right? There should always be an encouragement of further study. Even past this message or past this class, there should be an encouragement of further study for yourself. You've got to go for yourself. I don't care who your favorite teacher is, who your leader is, none of that. You have got to go for yourself. And context is key. You have to know what's happening before this scripture, what's happening after this scripture. Sometimes the scripture before gives the power to the scripture that you're reading. But if you're being biblically selective because you're trying to chain link a bunch of key words together so that you can prove your sermon that you're preaching, then you'll miss out on the context that's going on and the real life that's trying to be built and brought and drawn out of you. John 5:39, for the sake of time, and I say this, you should read everything, right? But 5:39, he says, search the scriptures, search the script. Church, it's funny that we got a script and we're still not living by it. You know, you got a script for a play. Well, a script for the play is whatever the word says, that's who you be at that time. And whatever that actor is supposed to do, that's what you're supposed to do, right? We've got the scriptures. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Jesus talking. Verse 40, and we don't read this so much, and you will not come to me that you might have life, which means you can search those scriptures, but those scriptures are a map that's going to show you who he is, and then he shows you who you are. The works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Jesus starts to say things like this to us. He says in Mark 11:23-24, he said, verily I say to you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have. He said, you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. This is living by the book. This is living as the book. You have whatsoever you say, right? It goes on from a confession that's a hopeful confession to an actual live being on the inside of you. So now let's go back and this, it doesn't take long, because this is enough for you to study for days just on simplicity of this. John chapter 6, flip over there real quick. John chapter 6, verse 16. I got to find this other scripture. And I think it's Paul said, I'm going to look it up real quick. Let's see. I know what's going on. Now we're going to tie together John 6:63, and you go look at it, John 6:63, and we're going to tie together John 6:63, and then I think it's 2 Corinthians 3:6. But John 6:63 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They don't lead to the spirit. They don't lead to the life. They actually are spirit and they actually are life. Why is this? Because the word is made flesh. If the word of God is not made flesh, it will never do you benefit. You are, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, you are the literal spoken word of God. I don't have to go into science, and I've done a lot of studying this stuff. I don't even study, but if you really break down, even down to your atoms and your cells, and people have broken it all the way down, all the way down to the atom, which is the smallest form of mass that there is, it's sound waves. Yeah, He said, well, no, that's not sound waves. I don't hear anything. Yeah, I know you don't hear nothing because you don't believe it. Be until you're caught into your faith. It's sound waves. Your very makeup, your DNA, everything that's made is made up of sound. No, this is not sound. No, it's made up of sound waves. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You think somebody just got them, started making this? Well, they know somebody said, I'm going to make a podium. Well, what's a podium? And then we decide what the podium is, defined it, and then we make it like we heard it. It's another conversation. The spirit, they are spirit. They are spirit, and they are life. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, and I'm going to wrap up here because it won't take long at all. Verse 6, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. Listen to what Paul's saying. And Paul's trying to get the point across, but they couldn't get it. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter, oh, Lord. It says, the letter killeth. Wow. The letter killeth. Let's think about that for a minute. You mean I could be all in these scriptures and know these scriptures and memorize them, everything, and then the letter still kill it? Yeah. The letter kill it, and then it says the last line, but the spirit giveth life. Now remember, now John 6:63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That means if you go to this word of God as just letter or as just principle or as just a lesson or as just something that you're trying to incorporate into your life, you'll miss out on your life. It is your life. And now, y'all know me, I say this all the time, I'm a red word guy, however you want to feel about that. So I'm in there, and Jesus, in these red words, are constantly telling us. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. He's constantly telling us who we are, who the scripture says that we are, and trying to bring us back to our, come to your senses. Snap to your senses. You don't know who you are. And I've been trying to tell you the whole time, but the only way that you'll know who you are is when you approach this as life. You approach it as not step, and of course there are steps and things that you can do, of course. I'm not being an idiot about that, but it does not end there. It is not just a manual to tell you how to do. This is not a how-to book. You can learn how to, but you really need to learn how to be yourself. How to be who you really are. Remember now, there was God before there was the Word. Right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But God said, and there's a Word, but the Word came from God. God didn't come from the Word. The Word, listen to what I'm saying. The Word came from God. God didn't come from the Word. So the same principle works for you. When you realize how to reverse this thing in your mentality, and how to reverse this thing in your consciousness, you realize that the Word comes from God. God didn't come from the Word. So you're not going to meet God through the Word. You're already one with God. This Word is only reversing you back to the reality of who you really are. And you've got to see it that way. So many years we've learned in Bible school and in vacation Bible school, and we learned all these Bible stories, and we learned the Word of God the wrong way. It's like there's a way to get to your house, but there's also a wrong way. And I could be going somewhere in the right direction. I could be in the right city, but I'll never make it home if I don't have the exact coordinates of where I'm supposed to go. And now Jesus gives us exact coordinates of who we are, where we come from, and where we're going, and what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. That's living by the book.